The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I am your host. It occurs to me that it's probably the only daily NFL podcast still. So, suck it, everybody else who doesn't have it. Just kidding. Super Friends Show. Got some mailbags, some 17 game talk. We got some, expanded playoff chatter. Didn't really warrant an emergency podcast. Came close, but not quite. Because it's only a proposal, you see. We'll cover that. We'll talk about our combine coverage for next week. Ryan Wilson is here. He'll be holding it down from Indianapolis as he shoves shrimp and horseradish into his face. Excited for that, Ryan?
You know, after eating the Impossible Burger, I think I'm a little less on the meat bandwagon, so I may get a salad.
Okay.
That's a choice.
That's a thing. I mean, I don't know that like shrimp necessarily qualify as meat per se. I guess they are meat. I had a shrimp quesadilla the other night that was delicious.
Yeah, you're right. Actually, I'm a big fish guy, and fish tacos are the bomb. I don't think they have fish tacos at the steak joint at what's it called, St. Elmo's?
St. Elmo's, probably not.
But
Sean, have you been to St. Elmo's?
I have not. I do like the tradition of Brinson throwing it to Ryan first, and Ryan launching into a 30-minute thing about something.
It's the best. Breach, how you doing, buddy? John Breach.
I am just like trying to get the bad taste of that horrible horseradish sauce out of my mouth.
Oh, I love
it. It's still nightmares I have to this day. I don't even like horseradish, and so this was extra spicy, and I actually like spicy. And not to go on another tangent, but keep me away from horses and radishes, and if you combine the two, it's even worse.
Let me go on the record saying I love horseradish, I love radishes, and I like horses. Horses are cool.
Radishes are kind of trash.
Yeah. Well, if you're Korean, like that's a pretty big staple of the Korean diet.
Oh, sorry.
Like it's a type of kimchi.
How often do you eat authentic Korean food, Sean?
Do I eat authentic Korean food?
How often?
How often do you eat non-authentic Korean food?
Not that often. I used to live across the street from a Korean grocery store, though.
Says man who lives in big city. Okay, go ahead.
What's that?
You live in a big city. Everyone lives across the street from an ethnic grocery store.
No, this was like a like famous in the East Bay Korean grocery store I used to live across the street from. So that was great. No, I don't. The only time I eat like Korean food usually is when I go home and my mom cooks for me.
But I used to live across the street from a Wingstop and someone got killed once.
You eat Korean food less than Ryan does, just to clear that up.
Probably.
Okay. Let's get into the meat and potatoes of the podcast.
One question. Does Sean know the capital of South Korea, though?
Well, can Brinson pronounce it?
Seoul, no question. Everyone knows.
All right. Seattle, I think it's called.
Seattle. It's so bad. The report from ESPN and Jason Lockenfora as well, who notes that no vote is taking place on the new collective bargaining agreement Thursday or Friday, but it's expected to take a look at it soon. And so basically, here's the deal. And after the 2010 season, is that right? After the 2010 season? Yeah. So the 2010 season, the collective bargaining agreement ran out. There was nearly a lockout. They hammered out something in place after not having really like a weird free agency. And then that was set to run out after next season. Well, they want to go ahead and get the collective bargaining agreement nailed down this offseason, possibly before March 18th, in order to get it set up for the coming season. Some people believe, and I would tend to agree with them, that the reason the owners are kind of rushing this isn't just for labor peace and to make everybody happy. It's so they can bang out these TV deals and get really rich. The new CBA, the reports that the share of the players' revenue would go from 47 up to 48.5%. Which is a pretty big swing, 1.5% of the net revenues, or the, I guess, the gross revenues, whatever it is. You can do the math on it. But more importantly, there's a bunch of stuff involving the schedule. For instance, for 2020, the playoffs would change. Seven teams, according to this report from Adam Schefter, seven teams, not six, seven would make it from each conference, meaning the only, the number one overall seed in each conference is the only team that would get a first round bye. You would, of course, have three wild card games. So three games Saturday, three games Sunday. Three teams would emerge, and then those three teams would be reseeded against the other teams. Thoughts on expanded playoffs, guys?
I'll say real quick that, Brinson, I don't think days were actually mentioned in the expanded playoff because Goodell had actually talked about putting a playoff game on Friday or Monday as recently as last year, with the worrying being that if that Monday team had to play Saturday, that would be not ideal. So there were kinks being worked out, but I think that's why we didn't hear days mentioned, because I don't think that is 100% set.
I think Schefter said, Adam Schefter tweeted about Saturday and Sunday games, but I think you're right as well, Breach, that it would not surprise me at all if they try, if they did like a Thursday night football wild card game.
Yeah, definitely. But I would like the format. I think Ryan here, Ryan, did you shed a few tears reading about this new format? Because if it had been in place the past 8 years, the Steelers would have made the playoffs four times.
Yeah, and they would have lost four times because I think mostly they faced the Patriots, except for this year with Duck Hodges. They probably would have won the Super Bowl. But other than that, yeah, so here's the thing. I think this is a good place to start if you're the owners, because it's something that most people agree with. Like, oh, more playoff football. No one's really against that. Oh, more teams get in. There's a better chance my team, if I'm the Bengals or Bears, for example, have a chance to get in than they would otherwise. And it's not like, okay, it's a 17-game season, regular season game. We're not adding that. There's no gymnastics to do to sort of convince players that that's a good idea, or the NFLPA. It's a playoff game, and I think that's a good starting point. At the end of the day, I think the owners, much like the Cincinnati Bengals with the number one overall pick and Joe Burrow, have all the leverage. So this is just like an olive branch and say, hey, look at this, and then shiny object distracts you as they do the other things that they want to do, including the 17-game schedule. But I don't have any issue with it inherently or otherwise. I think it's a good idea, and who doesn't love January football, and who doesn't love sort of things getting interesting in weeks 15, 16, and 17?
I hate it.
Oh, you hate it?
I hate it.
Just to add on, and let's just sort of bring it about too, but like, it's worth noting that there would also be, for 2021, 17 regular season games, and the season would start at the same time, which means you said January football and weeks 15, 16, and 17. It would be more like weeks 16, 17, and 18. Or would it be 17, 18, and 19? But you'd have to add two more weeks because they'd have a second bye for each team, I believe.
The 2020 season is when this playoff situation
might start. Just the playoffs. But what I'm saying is that if you're going to hate on it, and you, even if you're just hating on, I don't know if you're hating on it for expansion, Sean, or if you're hating on it for the extended timeline, but by 2021, by January 2022, we could be looking at like playoff games, like the Super Bowl inching closer to March.
Isn't the plan to have that Super Bowl Valentine's Day, was that something that someone mentioned somewhere?
That's a terrible.
I tweeted that out, and we talked about it on the podcast. But because, look, if it does get pushed back, if you throw in two byes, JLC, Jason Lockenfora, said that if it goes to 17 games and two byes, we could get a Super Bowl the final Sunday of February, and that could become the annual thing instead of the first Sunday of February. And then also, that was if maybe if they add a week to the playoffs. If they don't do that and we just stay in the same format with one extra bye week, that's where you get the President's Day weekend Super Bowl. But that also means Super Bowl could fall on Valentine's Day.
So, Sean, what do you hate more, the playoffs or the regular season?
The playoffs. I would actually be generally okay with them expanding the regular season and adding extra bye weeks. And the timing doesn't bother me. I actually think it's fine if it goes further into February, because February – for like a sports fan, I think it's so dead, and it kind of helps bridge the gap to March Madness.
It would also be huge. It would be huge for you on Valentine's Day, because you would no longer have to answer questions to your parents about why nothing was happening.
Or update your newsletter.
I was going to say I would have less time to write about movies, though. But no, I don't like it, because I don't think – this to me is a classic case of the NFL has a lot of issues. Like, they don't know what a catch is. They don't know what to do with pass interference. The entire instant replay system is broken. And they're fixing something that just doesn't need to be fixed. For me, the NFL already has the perfect playoff format out of every single league in North America. And I think the only flaw I can think of with the current playoff structure is when you have a 9-7 division winner hosting like an 11-5 wildcard team or something like that. But that doesn't happen every year. I don't think you gotta go and change the whole system because of that. And what I don't like about this is two things. One, I think it gives the one seed way too big of an advantage, and I'm fine with rewarding teams in the regular season for having the best record. The problem is that in the NFL in the 16 to 17 game season, the margins for that top seed are so razor thin that I don't think giving just one team the first round bye is justified. Like, for example, the 49ers got the top seed this past season. They got that top seed by like half a yard because the Seahawks couldn't score from the half yard line. I don't think them being the only team then to get the reward of the bye is justified, especially when you look at the history of the playoffs and how many teams that go to the Super Bowl are a team that got that first round bye and didn't have to play an extra week.
So just to be clear, you actually don't like rewarding regular season success.
I think the way they currently reward it is fine. I think giving it to two teams is perfect, and I think giving it to only one team per conference swings it too far in favor of the top seed. Well, let me go with my other points.
How many points do you have here?
I said two.
Hey, Sean, you like to write about movies. What's the name of the song that they play when they tell people to shut up at the Oscars?
Wow. Yeah.
What is that?
What is wrong with what I'm saying?
It's too long. By the way, here's my question, Sean, as you get into point 57. Why are you okay with 17 regular season games then?
Because I don't like reward. Wait, that because it has nothing to do with the argument I just laid out. I'm fine with more football games.
If you're expanding the regular season, wouldn't that in theory reduce the margins by which you need to get the number one seed and therefore only bolster the reason why you would reward the team in the top seed?
Yes, but I would not change this playoff format.
You're like, you're like one of those mascots in the dunk contest, just getting like hammered, like dunked on, like left and right.
Can I go on to my second point?
But saying the 49ers are the team that barely got the bye, this is not a good year to use that example, because I think a lot of people would argue the Packers shouldn't have gotten a bye, and this would have been the year where they didn't get a bye if there had been seven seeds. So, I mean, you can use the argument both ways, Sean.
Okay, let me go on to my other points.
Also,
okay.
Just to further on, on the other side of the coin, on the AFC, you complain about the reward for the razor-thin margins. There would have been no reward for the Chiefs and Patriots. It would have been the Ravens, who were clearly the best team that got the number one overall seed, and then no problem for the 2 and 3 seeds. So, again, this is an absolute dunking.
That's four dunks in five.
I have fundamental problems with allowing 44% of the league into the playoffs. I think the playoffs should be exclusive, expanding it to 14 and 32 teams. I think what's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of really crappy playoff games. Breach mentioned, of course, the Steelers would have made the playoffs this year. We would have had to watch Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges play against the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think anyone needs to watch that.
But we get Rams-Packers, which I would have paid to watch.
I don't think either of those teams were that good. I don't want to watch Jared Goff.
What do you want to do? Keep the Packers out of the playoffs? They went 13-3.
No. The playoffs, I don't want to change anything about the current playoff structure. It's fine as is. I know why they're changing it. It's money. So I'm not going to be like, why are they changing? I get why they're changing it. And yes, obviously I'm going to watch the games, but every single year we have to watch crappy quarterbacks playing the postseason. And this year's wild card round was really good. But look, in years past, we have to watch like Brian Hoyer versus Andy Dalton. We have to watch Mason. Like, I don't want to watch Devlin Hodges and Mason Rudolph. And the fact of the matter is there aren't enough good quarterbacks for me to justify having an extra playoff game.
Would you watch Mitch Trubisky in the playoffs?
Yes. Well, here's the thing, is when MLB expanded the wild card, I was very pro it because I was like, oh, great, the Mariners are going to make the playoffs. Didn't work out for my Mariners. I'm not going to go into this thinking, oh, I'm for it just because it means the Bears have a better chance of making the playoffs. I don't think we should reward 44% of the league with a playoff berth.
Sean, the Bears would have made the Bears. Let me use the 44% real quick, because when the NFL expanded to 12 playoff teams in 1990, that allowed 43% in, and everybody was fine with that. And so it's kind of hovered around there. And obviously when the NFL went to 32 teams and they added the Texans in 2002, it went down to 37.5%. But to stick on the 44% argument when it was 43% for a few years to me just seems silly.
Yeah, but it's not at 43% anymore.
Well, I'm saying that it was. So it's already proven that it works. So why use the percentage?
Look, I can't speak to what the dialogue was at the time when that was going on. But I would say since they went to 32 teams, 12 out of 32, it has been the perfect mix.
Sean, the Bears would have made the playoffs in both 2011 and 2012 under the new format.
So
you don't want the Bears in the playoffs?
I already got suckered into this when MLB went to two wildcard teams thinking the Mariners would make the playoffs. It didn't happen. I'm not going to go into this thinking about my one team.
Yeah, but MLB had a horribly designed playoff system where you have teams playing 162 games and getting eliminated in one game. That's dumb. So this is just adding one NFL playoff game, adding one team in each conference. I love this. Sean, I love it, and I hate that you don't.
For the record, if you want to read someone better articulate my thoughts on this, Jonathan Jones did write a good piece for CBS Sports that you should read. Brenton, you're on mute.
That's Sean admitting he doesn't have his own thoughts anymore.
Mm. You hate to see it.
I tweeted it before JJ wrote about it.
Oh, in that case.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
That's what I was trying to play. That's what I was talking. I couldn't say anything. I actually found a song that was called Dunked On. And it was like, y'all couldn't hear it. Like, I couldn't believe y'all didn't stop moving or whatever. Cause I was on mute, apparently. Anyway, look, I think it's a valid point to say that dilution of the playoff field could create problems. But if you're letting in teams that aren't that great,
what are the problems with one more team?
You're diluting the field would be the problems.
But what problem does that cause? Like, what's problem with the Packers-Rams game?
Well, here's the issue. Is that – no. I mean, like, look, here's the issue if I'm going to play devil's advocate and team up with Sean here, is that in, like, baseball and basketball, if you add an extra – if you expand the playoffs, you're expanding it to a series. And so you're not very likely to have the bad team move forward. Whereas, like, if, you know, the Steelers could have gone in there and beaten –
Stop.
You know.
The Chiefs? With what? Are they going to shoot Patrick Mahomes?
If the Chiefs somehow thought it was in Pittsburgh and set their equipment to Pittsburgh, yes.
Is it? Would it be – the other argument I saw is that it would be unfair for the Chiefs as the 2 seed going into the Super Bowl with an extra game against a team like the 49ers who got the 1 seed, even though, you know, because of the conference setup, like maybe – or you know, I mean, I don't know. Like that would be the argument, I guess.
What about this? What about 7 teams, but then you reseed after the regular season? Based on record, and that way, you know, if your record's better than the other team in the division that you have to travel to, they come to you.
I just think, I mean, it puts a huge emphasis, on being the number one team in the conference. I mean,
which is good. The top team should be rewarded. Right. Like, I don't know why Sean doesn't want them rewarded because the margin of error is too thin. Like,
Sean,
the top team should be rewarded.
Because I think this, in a lot of years, the second team is very close to being just as good as the first team, and I think it is a very significant advantage that we're only giving to one team when there are more than one great teams per year that deserve that same advantage.
Sounds like socialism, Sean.
Well, that's an argument for a different
time. And diluting the playoff field, this is what I've seen on Twitter, too, is people are afraid that 7 and 9 teams would get in. If we take this all the way back to 2002 when the NFL – changed the divisional realignment when the Texans came in. From 2002 to 2019, if this format had been in place, there would not have been a single 7-9 team that got a 7 seed. So you're talking about no horrible teams getting in. They're all going to be mediocre to good to very good. The 11-5 Patriots without Tom Brady in 2008 would have gotten in. 10-6 teams don't get left out. I mean, if you're talking about teams that prove themselves over the regular season, there's no reason a 10-6 team should be left out of the playoffs, Sean. The Cleveland Browns in 2007 went 10-6 and got left out of the playoffs.
I'm very much aware as a fan of the Bears, yikes, that was difficult. As a fan of the Bears who went 10-6 in 2012, I think, and missed the playoffs. I get it. I don't think that happens every single year though, and I don't think this. You guys can be a fan of it, but I think you can admit this doesn't fix a problem, right?
But there's not a problem.
What's the fix? This is like Kate Upton getting a haircut. She's gorgeous whether she has the haircut or not. There's no fix. It's just better.
I thought you were going to go Rick Riley there. I got
worried too.
I don't remember the Rick Riley thing. But Sean, 2010, 2011, 2012.
See, he suggested that it'd be like giving Kate Upton a third.
It was the Warriors adding Kevin Durant was like Kate Upton getting a third
breast.
Oh, interesting. 2010 through 2012, Sean, the Bears would have made the playoffs each and every year.
I told you I don't care about looking at it through the lens of my own team I root for. That's not how I'm looking at this.
Sean, are you going to watch this playoff game? Assuming, let's say 10
of
years down the road,
you go, I chose to watch it.
Well, I was going to say, you don't have this job 10 years from now. Are you watching this playoff game?
Unless he's working on a movie blog.
If it's like a Brian Hoyer quarterback versus a Josh Allen quarterback, I could see myself skipping it.
When this news broke, I was out of the house. I was with my buddy Garrett, and who's doesn't write about football professionally, doesn't cover the sport, is a huge sports fan, loves to gamble, loves to watch football, loves playoff football, and he was like, "This is awesome." Maybe like, what is, this is great. So more playoff games. Cool. Garrett. Sounds great.
Garrett, may I introduce you to Sean Wacker McGuff, who hates football?
I mean, Garrett be on the podcast.
NFL playoffs are being ruined.
Just because you three like it and Brinson's friend likes it, just what, like, there are a lot of people who feel the same way that I feel.
Debo, do you like it or not?
I like it, unless it leads.
That's 5-1.
Yeah,
hey,
I'm in.
Sean, just out of curiosity.
You're the only yes.
Are these people that you're talking about, are they average blue-collar fans, or are they highfalutin journalist people on Twitter?
It would be the latter.
Okay, that's right. I can't believe I've got to cover more playoffs.
You know what would be fun, though? I'm not mad about it. I just think this is something that the NFL is changing something that isn't broken, and I would prefer to just them leave something that's fine as is. I understand why they're doing it. I'm not saying how dare they do this. I understand it's all about money. I get it. And, yes, even though I'm not a fan of it, of course I'm going to watch it. So.
You said that other people agree with you. I would wager that you're the only person on planet Earth that hates the playoff system but wants to add a 17th game. That doesn't make sense. That's what doesn't make sense.
That hates the playoff system? I would prefer to add more regular season games than playoff games.
Wow. That's what doesn't make sense.
All right, well, let's talk about the 17 games. To me,
let me say real quick on the playoffs, what if, Sean, you know how they want to reward the team that's the hottest? Because sometimes the hottest team going to the playoffs wins the Super Bowl. Somebody proposed this on Twitter. I don't remember who. But what if they what if they give the seventh spot in each conference to the team that has the best record over the final eight games and make it just like a crazy spot?
No. I like that. Why don't we just bring it to Albert and have him pick a hat, like pick a thing out of a hat, and then that'll be
Sean, what game. What if they in the playoffs have no punting? Would you watch it then?
That's the only way I'm tuned in, Ryan.
See, I find the idea of expanding the number of regular season games to 17 far more offensive than
For the record, I think all around they should say it's 16 in the current playoff format. I'm just saying I would be more receptive to the regular season, but I still prefer they keep everything the same, but they're not going to.
Okay, so
I'm not like banging my fist for 17 games here.
For the record, by the way, it would be if they went to 17 games, but you just changed your mind. You said you don't mind the regular season as much.
I can live with that. I can live with
the playoffs. So it would be 3 preseason games, 17 regular season games. Presumably, they would, correct me if I'm wrong, they would add a second bye in there. This would be for the 2021 season. So each team would play 17 regular season games. They would have 2 byes. I know it's to make more money. I think this is all designed around putting a team in London, personally.
I also think it's an olive branch to push through the other crap they want to push through that the NFLPA and the players aren't going to like the 17 games.
What do you mean the olive branch?
Like, hey, we did this for you. Here's some more money. Because I don't think anyone other than Sean and his hipster buddies are against it. I would imagine the players want to have a better chance of playing in the playoffs and get the playoff share of that money.
Are you talking about the playoffs or are you talking about the regular season?
I'm saying they do the playoffs first, the owners do, and say, hey, look what we did for you. And then in the 11th hour, they slip.
Well, also consider this. Like, I mean, think about how aggressive the owners are being. They have, according to reports, given the players a 1.5% bump move in the revenue sharing.
What does that work over the course of all the players per year? Do you know?
Like what's that?
What is that 1.5% worth? Do you know?
Player? 1.5% over the course of 10 years.
Well, if they're bringing in $20 billion a year, just use that. It could get up to 30. Say $20 billion. That's $300 million a year over 10 years. That's $3 billion extra in the players' pockets.
I think it's supposed to be $5 billion is the total amount that's moved
over 10 years.
No,
per year.
Someone calculated it. Who did it?
Oh, okay.
I thought you would have done it, Ryan, as you're the math guy. So.
Well, I knew it was 1.5%, but I didn't know what the total number was. And also, if it was $40,000 a year, I mean, screw that if you're a player. But if it's $400,000 a year, okay, now you have my attention.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem is that, well, for one, a lot of the revenues, like the revenue isn't from teams. So, like, if Jerry Jones sells the Frisco Star, if he sells at, you know, if it's sponsored by Ford, that revenue does not go into the CBA. This is strictly from league-wide revenues for like the TV deals, basically. And the other reason I think, and I, look, you can argue with me if you want, but I don't think many people would, is that the owners want to knock this out now, is that they think once the players see how much these TV revenue deals are for in the next CBA, they're going to wish they'd had like 50% instead of 48.5. 48.5 is still really good. And it's very close to 50%, but, you know, it's just not going to be. And look, the reality is that the 17 games is you know, you are going to get 17 paychecks now instead of 16. Or your paycheck is going to be bigger. Like, you know, it'll be split up, obviously, but they're not going to have the same paycheck split 17 ways. Presumably the cap will expand. The owners will find ways not to get the players their money because that's what the owners do. They're really good at it. But the players in theory, and look, like some of this money is going to be going to retirees for healthcare benefits and all of that. I mean, there's a lot of reasons, ways in which the players will not be helped here. But they are going to be getting a significantly larger chunk of change.
But even if they do get that larger chunk of change, I don't know that it's going to not help like 80% of players, because the guys at the bottom of the barrel, they're not going to see their pay go up a ton. But a guy like Patrick Mahomes, when he signs his second contract, he's going to go from making $40 million a year to $50 million a year because the cap's going to go up so much. And he's going to argue that, hey, I still need to get my 15 to 17% of the cap. But the guys that are at the bottom making $800,000 a year, now what? They make maybe $900,000 a year. So I think the guys making the smallest amount of money, it's not going to help them very much. But Princeton, you said something about London. I do think that is where this headed, because you put the 17th game, you make an international game or a neutral site game. And one thing I do want to see the NFL do is make like a true first place schedule. So on this 17 game schedule, you keep the formula. The only thing you change is that you have a first place team in the AFC play a first place team in the NFC, but not from the division that they're already playing. So that would add, cause right now every team plays the same schedule. You play four first place teams, four second place teams, four third place teams, and four fourth place teams. No matter which place you finish in, that's what you're playing. It's all the same to everyone. So if you add another first place game for first place teams, it makes their schedule more difficult.
Let me ask you this. What are the NFL's talking points when someone says, hey man, the 17 game thing, I thought you guys were against head injuries. How is this making things better for people's heads when we're playing another game of people running full speed into each other? And an extra bye week doesn't fix concussions, by the way.
Here's the primary talking point. Here's some money, and then run away.
Or this will help us raise more money, which we can use to study concussions, then we'll figure out concussions because of all the money we're throwing at it. And even if we don't figure out, we're throwing so much money that the players won't care no more.
Is that Jerry Jones?
That was like Jerry Jones and Goodell combined. I'm not sure.
Because I think Jerry Jones would say there's no link between CTE and football, because I think he actually did say that.
He did, in fact, say that.
Just let that one hang out there.
Yeah.
Sean is vilified by the owners and Cowboys fans on Twitter.
You think they'll put international games in different cities if they go to 17 games? Like Germany? Like
yes.
Everywhere?
Yes. If you have two bye weeks, it makes it infinitely easier to schedule a bunch of games internationally, because that they have to schedule the games internationally around at least one bye week, and unless the team declines to do so, which I think the Bears did or the Colts did one time, and it just makes it substantially easier. So in that regard, look, this is happening. It's coming. It's happening. The playoff changes are coming. They are happening. The owners can say, listen, we will give you less. You can smoke all the weed, get high as hell, smoke all the weed you want, whatever you want, use it to help medicate, et cetera. We're going to give you a bunch more money in exchange. You're going to play some more football games. Deal. And they're going to take the deal because it's a bunch of money and they can keep getting paid. And,
The ability to do something that's legal is the most NFL owners thing ever as part of the
for sure.
Hey, you want to drink alcohol?
Yeah.
Go crazy. Just make sure you call an Uber. You want to smoke weed? You can already do that legally, but hey, here it is.
You guys want a pop quiz?
Yeah, pop quiz.
Do you guys know the last time the NFL expanded the regular season schedule?
1990.
That is not correct.
John is not sure.
I was trying to be dramatic.
No.
1995.
Wait, I have another guess.
Sean's turn.
Oh, he doesn't know. 2002.
The answer is 1978.
Oh, 2002, they did the realignment for the divisions. My bad.
Yeah. 1977, they played 14 games. 1978, they upped it to 16.
So was the last time that we had some major schedule? So, I mean, if it's been 1978, obviously with the schedule, it's been a while. When was the last major change to divisions and teams and the playoffs? Oh, two, right?
Yeah, that was when the Texans came in and evened everything out.
See, I feel like that is sort of a thing where, you know, from like 19, like it felt like from like throughout the 90s and 2000s, there was always some big change happening with the NFL. You know what I mean? Like there was like teams coming in, you had the Jaguars, the Panthers, the Texans,
the Browns, coming Browns. Back.
Yeah. I mean, like, there's just all kinds of stuff going on, and there's been relative, like, stability in terms of what we understand the sport is for the last 15 years. And I think that probably makes us more hesitant to accept the idea of change. Like, if they've been tinkering with stuff constantly, it wouldn't be as big a deal if they change the playoffs, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, that's the thing. We've kind of come to accept this is the longest NFL's ever gone without changing anything. Because if you go back to the merger in 1970, that started with 8 playoff spots, 26 teams. Then in 76, they added the Buccaneers and the Seahawks. And because they added to the 28 teams, that made them go to 10 playoff spots, 16 games. And then 1990 is when they went from 10 playoff spots to 12 playoff spots. So,
and on that note, maybe that's one reason why I'm so against it, because you mentioned like 2002. Like, that's probably when I actually really started.
Oh,
that
Sean's never, Sean wasn't a lot. Like,
he doesn't know anything else.
No, I'm saying like 2002 is probably around the time that I actually really started to watch, you know, the NFL's more than just like a kid. And this is all I've known. And now it's like very jarring. Like, why are we fixing this? I've never complained once about the structure.
Well, I bet you didn't like the single game MLB playoff thing either.
No, I hate
like,
it.
Do you care about it now?
No, I hated it, but I said I liked it from the perspective of it gave the Mariners a better chance always to make the playoffs, but that's never happened since, so I just still hate it.
By the way, in 2001, 2002, I did not care about the realignment, and I'm looking now in the 2001 season in the NFC Central where the Bears played. You can name the other three teams because they are currently in the NFC North, but can you name the fifth team in that division in the NFC Central that left in 2001 or left in 2002?
I can, but I'm not going to give the answer away.
The Buccaneers.
Oh, good guess. That's right, the Buccaneers, which would be incredibly...
I think that's what's called an answer.
I know. He said good guess. I thought it was wrong.
And also, I'm glad Ryan brought up that season, because in 2001, the AFC Central had six teams. They had six teams, so they had an unfair... you're fighting for a playoff spot with five other teams, whereas every other division was only fighting against four other teams for the championship, so it was kind of stacked... against the Bengals.
That AFC Central year, and with six teams in the AFC Central, the Bengals still came in last.
They tied for last.
This will sound a little odd, but I sort of trust the NFL to get this part of it right.
That does sound odd.
Like they screw up a ton of stuff, but I kind of trust them to get, like, the playoffs are the playoffs. I mean, right?
Well, the Rams and the Saints might have an argument in terms of getting the playoffs right.
Okay, fair point. They can't figure out what a catch is and don't...
Well, I think to your point, Brinson, they're really bad at, like, in-game stuff and, like, how the football is, like, played on the field. They're terrible at. But for the most part, like, again, I'm saying, like, I've had no complaints ever with the schedule or playoff stuff. They've always gotten that stuff right. And for as much as I don't like it, like, yes, I'm still going to watch, and I'm sure there'll be an entertaining seven-seed game every once in a while.
Yeah. If anything, you would think we would all be complaining because it adds... three more weeks to our workload, but we love it.
Except right? Sean.
I don't.
Because he's lazy.
I don't like the idea that they're going to have the Super Bowl in like February 28th.
Oh, I love that. Leap year Super Bowl, man, I am all over.
Well, you know February what happens 29th? If they do that, right? They're going to push back the combine, and then they'll push back free agency, and then they'll push back the draft, and then pretty much it'll be June. And we'll be still working. There will be no off month anymore.
How's that different from any other year?
I mean, so, Brinson will only take three vacations and not five.
And I take two week-long vacations in June like my company policy allows me to. I don't know what y'all's deal is. I'm not like Ryan who just flaunts the conventions of the workplace and takes 6 weeks of vacation a year.
Hey, 6 weeks of vacation. Get ready to not see Breeze for a while with his paternity leave that he's about to ramp.
You take 6 weeks?
He's taking 12.
You're having a baby. It's part of it, guys.
Or you're having a baby, sure.
Who's gonna? Can the baby sub in for me on the podcast?
Yes.
Yeah. At least then the problem is they won't be able to tell which voice is the baby's and which voice is Sean's.
For instance, you could tell when he thought of that because he already started laughing. He started even talking.
We should have a podcast vote and we all vote on which team I raise the baby to be a fan of, because I don't think just making her a Bengals fan is fair. So we might have to vote that out.
Who's your wife Rachel, a fan of?
Yeah, who's Rachel like?
Oh, she's from Alabama, so all they care about is Alabama football.
There you go.
So she's a Bengals fan because she didn't have an NFL team.
Just making.
Would Alabama beat the Bengals?
Yes.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do some mailbag questions. Mailbag!
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drive so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, so we have a bunch of mailbag questions that have come in recently. Very excited for them. Debo, I have a point of procedural that I need to ask you about.
What's up?
So I noticed that you didn't include one of the questions. Yes, that was recently left. I would like to read it.
You can read it. That's fine. If Debo's okay with it,
I was saving that because we'll answer in the future some draft-related questions, and I think that's the one that you're hinting at. But we could do it with the Super Friends. It might be more fun to read with the Super Friends.
No. That one is the mock draft question. No, I'm talking about the one that's below it, the three-star from.
This is five-star.
Okay. We're not rewarding a three-star. Can I read it or not?
I mean, we're rewarding a three-star if you read it, but go ahead.
Okay.
I forgot about this one.
This Tuesday pod was the worst. Stop with the nonsense and go straight to the point. I can't stand how y'all just goofball around before going to what the podcast is all about. And y'all need a brother on the pod enough.
Disrespectful, but go ahead.
So, look, I'm as Caucasian as it gets. I'm not going to deny that. I do think it is a little disrespectful to my good African-American friend, Ryan Wilson.
Two things. Back in the day when Brent and I just podcasted, like 2015, someone on Twitter saw a picture of us. They actually liked the podcast, and they thought I looked like Joe Dirt. So that's one thing.
What?
Yeah, I know. They sent us a picture of – I don't remember who they thought you looked like. And then more recently, someone thought that I probably – when they saw me, they were again surprised. They thought I would look like not Justin Long, but the other nerdy guy in the Apple commercials who used to be on Comedy Central – John Stewart's show, and he's like an old goofy guy with glasses and a comb over. So I can understand where this person's coming from, but yeah, hate to tell you, I'm black.
So, I'm sorry,
I'm not representing the brothers like you want me to, but I'm doing all against the man that is Will Brinson. Good news though, you have a Mexican in John Breach and someone of South Korean descent in Sean Wagner McGough. Where are you from, Debo? Are you Italian? Greek?
Italian, but I'm pretty white as well.
Not as white as me, apparently, but there you have it.
Right. I mean, in theory, you could say that I'm in the... You know what? I was surprised by that, that somebody thought that this was not a diverse and well-represented podcast, because I would challenge anybody to find a more diverse and well-represented podcast in the sports podcast space. I don't think you'll get it. There's a lot of diversity out there in young sports media, maybe traditional NFL media, not the most diverse group of guys, a bunch of crusty old whites.
Yes, thank you, Brinson, for bringing that up.
What? I'm
joking. That's fun.
So that's the only way you get a three-star. You get read as a three-star if you question. Well,
my point to you was he still gave us three stars, so he must not have truly hated it.
Was the Tuesday pod he's complaining about? I can't imagine what he thought about the Damashek podcast.
Oh, the Tuesday pod was where we started with a rant about who was the drunkest president.
Yeah, that's
which I thought was a solid post-President's Day rant. I mean, that's what you want the day after President's Day.
Like less than 5 minutes. The Damashek podcast was like 11 minutes on brunch talk before we even got going.
It was not less than 5 minutes.
Debo described producing me and Damashek doing a podcast as two guys at tangent rehab.
Oh, my God. Well done.
What was the big brunch takeaway?
Sheck thinks that bone-in ham is underrated.
I don't even know what that means.
I've never seen that on a menu at a brunch place, I think.
And I said if you had to pick one brunch item for the rest of time, what would it be? And he went with a skillet.
I don't know.
It's a good choice. Because then you have unlimited eggs, and you can bring in meats and vegetables. You can vary what you're eating. I think that's a pretty good choice.
I'm going with pancakes. Omelet.
Pancakes?
Yeah, you can put anything in pancakes. Anything.
I love pancakes, too.
You couldn't put vegetables in pancakes.
You can, actually. I've done it.
Korean pancakes. Am I right, Sean?
Hey! Well done.
What did he say?
Korean pancakes, which is really good.
They are better than real pancakes.
We actually had about a 5-minute rant against pancakes.
That's why I brought them up.
Yeah. What did you say, Sean, your choice was? I know you're a big...
An omelet. Like eggs and like an omelet or a scramble with like potatoes. It's like pretty much what I order whenever I go out.
So you don't get the potatoes. You just get one.
Yeah, that's two items, Sean. Then I would pick the omelet.
An omelet's a good choice, too, because it's a vehicle that you can carry a lot of different meats and cheeses and stuff in. What?
So are pancakes.
Yeah, you put an omelet, like,
pancakes. Preach, you're not putting like spinach and like...
You can stuff a pancake.
Onions. But do you want to?
Oh, of course you do.
What about crepes?
I will if I see you cook some spinach, egg and cheese pancakes and eat them. Or not spinach, egg and cheese, sorry. Spinach, onions, mushrooms, cheese, pancakes. I'll change my mind about how I feel about how far you can throw a football.
Preach, are you putting syrup on that still? Yeah. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to.
That sounds disgusting.
But I can. It's an option.
If I had to guess, the only thing Breach is cooking is meth. That's just me.
Did you say meth? Yeah. Meth cakes. All right, let's.
Ryan gets called out on one podcast, and all the stuff would have been better.
If you have brunch questions, we'll answer them. Movie questions. If you leave a 5-star review, we'll answer a question in the future. This is for Ryan. There's a lot of Ryan buzz going on right now. It's draft.
A lot of burners.
Yeah, a lot of Ryan burners. This one was titled from Shinx1208 via Apple Podcasts, titled The Dark Wizard in Football. Okay. Hey, Ryan, this has been bothering me for a while now, but how can you laugh at Philip Rivers' final press conference as a Charger as he is clearly emotional? So my question for you is, where have you hidden the pieces of your soul, you dark wizard? What do you super friends think? Where would Ryan Wilson hide the pieces of his soul as Horcruxes? Who's Horcruxes?
Harry Potter. Harry Potter?
No, I've never read Harry Potter.
Say that word again.
Horcruxes? What is it?
How do you pronounce it, John?
Horcrux.
Oh, are you a Harry Potter guy too?
No, but I know of Harry Potter. Okay. I've seen the movies.
All right, well, I'll put it to you guys first.
Oh, well, he adds, anyway, love the show.
Yeah, and he gave 5 stars. So I think Shinx is, he's probably a Philip Rivers fan. This could be your burner, Brinson, but what do you guys think?
I think Ryan's soul is buried underneath a Jester's in Fort Lauderdale.
What do you think about the suggestion that I was laughing? Well, not suggestion, the actuality of me laughing at Philip Rivers during that press conference where he bawled a little bit.
I thought it was rude and inappropriate, and it makes you an evil person, a dark wizard even.
If you will, Sean.
I'm offended that I was laughing equally hard and I didn't get called out on this.
Right.
I never mute myself, and I had to mute myself because I thought Brinson would get mad if I started laughing.
I was. I would say that Ryan probably keeps his soul where everybody keeps their soul, right on the back of the neck.
Oh, very nice. John, did you have any issue with my behavior?
I did not, because half of it for me, and I wasn't laughing as hard as you guys, but I also covered my mic so that I wouldn't get called out. But half of it was Brinson reacting to what was happening. Like, I thought I saw tears coming down Brinson's face. So it was just a whole combination of everything that definitely brought a few chuckles to the three of us.
I will say this to give Shinx some more perspective. I like Phillip Rivers as a football player. I think he's incredibly tough. We talked about what year was that game? 2008, 2007, where he played in the playoffs with a no ACL. Not many players would have done that, and he didn't play terribly given that he had one leg. The issue that I have with Phillip Rivers is the Yannick Ngakoue behind the scenes where he's acting like a complete goober, and the trash talk where he doesn't curse, which makes me even angrier than if he just cursed and just talked solely about people's mothers. That's where I was like laughing at the fact that this is how it came to a head for him. Disrespectful by the Chargers, the way they treated him. I don't disagree with any of that. And he's a Hall of Famer. So, I mean, if that makes you feel better, Shinks, I don't know. But it was funny either way.
Fair enough. All right, Ryan, this is where we say goodbye to your soulless spirit, whatever you are. You got to go to a CBS Sports HQ hit. Reminder, CBS Sports HQ, our 24/7 streaming sports network that you can watch on your Roku, Apple, Amazon Fire. We actually got a new TV, a little new smart TV. Pretty excited. With like you can use the commands. It was on sale at President's Day at Best Buy. But you can use like the it has all the little features on the bottom. Do you guys have one of those?
No, because smart TVs are listening.
I mean, your phone's listening.
Fair enough.
Brenton's listening.
I mean, we do a daily NFL podcast. Like, everyone's listening to us. So, whatever. Have you not used one of those smart TVs where you can, like, access Netflix from the TV? I mean, it's freaking incredible.
Are you just getting that, like, now in 2020?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, man. I've had that since, like, 2015 or 16.
I was going to say 2015, yeah.
None of my TVs are smart TVs. But this one has like a Roku built in or something.
You're never going to leave your couch then. You literally can just turn on your Netflix, Hulu, everything from Ryan is rolling out because he does not have a smart TV and cannot partake in this conversation. Yeah, dude, Brinson, your life is going to change. Your whole off season is just going to be completely different. I don't even know what to tell you.
How do you watch Netflix? What do you use to watch Netflix?
Yeah, like an Amazon TV? Fire Stick or Fire Box?
Fire Stick. Sometimes I will just use my Xbox if it's on already, because you can get apps on your game console.
Do you have cable? You have cable, right?
I have cable, but like if I want to watch HBO Go or Netflix, like I usually just turn on my Xbox,
right?
Because the apps are on there.
Yeah, right. Like, how else do you have the Netflix app on your television?
Yeah, it's a different remote though, and right now the battery's out.
It doesn't sound that smart. Then, like, it seems like kind of a pain.
No, it's you literally just have to click Netflix on your TV remote instead of firing up something else. Or
batteries.
You get Xfinity. I shouldn't be shouting out Xfinity because they don't personally sponsor me, but that's what I have. And you talk to your remote control and you say Netflix, and it just pops up. Have you seen those commercials? I think like Olivia Munn does them, and she just talks to her remote. I have that.
I actually have Xfinity, and I don't know any of the channels because I had DirecTV for so long that I literally have to use a voice thing every time I want to switch the channel.
That definitely is the issue because I've had it for 6 months. I don't even know what channel.
Wait, you guys ditched DirecTV too?
Yeah, well, when I moved to this apartment, they couldn't do DirecTV. Is hard to get on certain apartments because they have to put the satellite like on the roof. Sure.
But then you can stream. You can buy the streaming thing.
That's what I do.
You convince DirecTV that you can't put a satellite up. But don't tell them that I can't. I just tell them I can't.
Oh, so you bought this. Well, anybody can buy the Red Zone streaming now for free, or like anybody can do
right,
that.
But you can buy a separate DirecTV package that doesn't involve a satellite. You just stream all the games if you need Sunday Ticket.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Anybody can do that now. You don't have to trick them anymore. Anybody can buy that now.
Oh, really? Well, that makes me feel better.
Yeah, when it first started, it was only if they couldn't install a satellite at your place.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. So now I cut the cord, and we got a – like, we just use Netflix and, you know, I got YouTube TV, which is really good. Much cheaper. And I think I'm just going to, I mean, I like DirecTV, but I'm going to see how these TV deals shake out with the NFL before I, you know, go back to DirecTV or maybe just stream them. I don't know. Anyway.
You would hate streaming sports because then you can't tweet about it on Twitter.
It's rough. I don't like it right now. I'm like way behind. Like, I'm reading Twitter and I'm way behind. Anyway, moving along. Why does, this is, from Jennison 101. Back in February, why does Dan Quinn still have a job? Hey, super friends, I live in Atlanta. I've been a Falcons fan my whole life. I was born in 1997, so I've never seen a championship parade in my streets. And the Falcons lost the Super Bowl. It was probably the worst couple of days of my life. Anyway, why does Dan Quinn still have a job? Did we all watch the same couple of seasons since the Super Bowl? I know we've had some injuries, but that defense is awful. Please give me some hope for next season. Love the pod. I would say this, as somebody who grew up as a Braves fan, yeah, that would be tough, man. It's coming soon. I think the Braves will win a title in the next 5 years or so because the talent is so good. Sorry, Ronald Cunha and Ozzie Albies. But if you're an Atlanta sports fan and you've been one since like 90, and you were born in 97, it has been a rough, rough go. And as to why Dan Quinn still has his job, I talked to Arthur Blank at the Super Bowl, as you guys probably know. It was on the podcast, actually. Wow. So you could have heard Arthur Blank. So I hope it just seems like he opted for continuity in what I think, and I agree with him in this. He didn't say this outright, but I tend to think this, that the coaching class this year was not ideal. And I don't know that the Falcons were definitely going to upgrade. I do think it's fool's gold to base your decision making on the second half of a season after a team is out of the playoffs, like convinces itself it's out of the playoffs and it's only fighting to save the coach's job. So like that to me is a little bit of fool's gold, but they did play well down the stretch. They have a ton of good pieces. If the defense could just be decent to start the season, that this is a team that can make the playoffs. Drew Brees, retiring would have helped them a lot, but the Panthers are rebooting. Arthur Blank talked about this too with us. You know, the Panthers are rebooting. We don't know what the Buccaneers are going to do with their quarterback situation. So certainly that division is winnable if you're Atlanta.
And to his credit, they've never really, like, I know they were terrible this past season, but they did go 6-2 down the stretch to finish 7-9. Dan Quinn's 5 years. He is 6 games over .500. Their worst season has been 7-9 the past two seasons. He hasn't had that type of season that Arthur Blank kind of like needed, where like no one would be defending him, which is like the 4-12, 5-11 season. He's kind of always at least kept the ship afloat. I don't know how much that should matter, but that makes it easy for Arthur Blank, or easier to justify keeping him around. The question I always have is there, who's the better option? I think you could have made an argument that maybe like Eric Bieniemy would have been a better option, for them for this season. And the hope that I would give him is that they still have Matt Ryan, who might not be at his prime anymore, but is still playing top 10, top 12 level quarterbacking. And they have had some rough injury issues. And if Matt Ryan maintains his level of production, they have most of that offense still under contract, and the defense stays healthy, like, I think they could win 9 or 10 games. I think I picked them to make the playoffs this past season. So, I'm not down on
playoff spots.
Yeah, that's true. That there's our hope. Extra playoff spots. 7-9 will get you in contention.
I do think it's crazy that, I mean, I guess I'm okay with Blank staying, or, Dan Quinn staying, but it does feel like that Arthur Blank absolutely made this decision based on how they played over the final 8 weeks of the season after the bye. Because you remember going to the bye, they were 1-7. Arthur Blank did not have Dan Quinn's back at all. He was throwing out some like, yeah, I'm not sure about this. We definitely need to be playing better. He did not give him a vote of confidence. And I really think what saved Dan Quinn's job was beating the 49ers in week 15, because they had beaten the Saints. Everybody's like, oh, where was this Falcons team? They beat the Saints coming out of the bye. Turned around, they were like a 10-point underdog, I think, to the 49ers, went to San Francisco, beat them, and at that point, it was felt like kind of a given that Quinn had saved his job, and then obviously they announced it right before week 17. But I think you guys hit the nail on the head. They play in a winnable division, so there is, and if you're Dan Quinn, and if you're Arthur Blank, Dan Quinn took you to a Super Bowl in 2016. It's not like the Falcons have this great football history like the Steelers or the Cowboys or the Patriots. That's the second Super Bowl in franchise history. You don't just dump a coach 3 years after that. You cut him some slack as long as he doesn't have that season that Sean was talking about, that 3-13 or 4-12 disaster. And Quinn hasn't had that. So I think you definitely give him at least one more year. And, you know, you guys both said, I think they definitely have potential to get to the playoffs next year. So that is your hope, Jemison. They could get to the playoffs next year.
All right. And, finally, or not finally, excuse me, two more. Love the show, listen daily, from Tebow 904. Thanks, Tebow. Thoughts on the current process for Hall of Fame induction and ways to improve/modernize it? Thank you in advance. Either of you guys have thoughts?
The one thing I would say is not have limits, like just allow more people in, because you look at all these offensive linemen who aren't getting in. That's how I would fix it.
Hate it.
Yeah, I don't like that. Well, it was my suggestion. Sean, sorry that we've hated all your suggestions. They actually.
I know this is like the opposite of the Breach Pro Bowl.
My issue with the whole podcast.
And then you know how I felt.
Hall of Fame process. I think that it's antiquated in terms of how they set it up. Like, one, As far as I know, they have not done, and this will sound a little selfish, but I don't really necessarily mean me, but I mean, I think that there is a group of media members who, well, like, I mean, in my demographic, my age range, Breach's age range, who have been covering the league for about a decade now. And like, I mean, I'm not saying like, I've been doing this for a decade. I deserve a Hall of Fame vote. But, the way that they built out the Hall of Fame vote is that they did it geographically. And so each team was represented is represented. And there's some national guys too, like Peter King and Mike Sander in there, of course. But they wanted to have geographical representation because this is before the days of Sunday Ticket and before the days of national broadcast. When you would see, like, I watch every team every week. I see every team. I know, you know, every player that's in the league and that is playing, like, I have a decent idea of, you know, whether they're good or not. I mean, not, you know, like, and all of us do. And you just didn't have that back in the day because you had beat writers covering mostly beat writers covering specific teams, and they would have an idea of the teams that they played and the teams on their schedule and the teams that they covered. And you wanted somebody, they want somebody to come in and advocate, for instance, you know, like Mike Sando has stood up, as I understand it, and advocated for Torrey Holt because he covered him, or he covered the, you know, he covered the Seahawks. And so he saw a lot of Torrey Holt when he was with the Rams, et cetera, et cetera. To me, the problem is that it's too splintered from a geographical standpoint. They don't give the votes up. And so, the vote doesn't stay with an organ. No, is it the vote? The vote stays with the person, not the organization. So, like, I don't want to call out, anybody by name here, but I do know of two instances where someone, and it wasn't their fault, they were laid off from the job at a newspaper. And they retained their Hall of Fame vote. And now in one of these instances, that person went on to get another job in the industry. And it's good that they, you know, can still continue to do that and maintain the Hall of Fame vote. But then in another instance, somebody kept their Hall of Fame vote, even though they weren't covering the NFL full time, which to me is like insane. Like if you're then it's like in baseball, you know, you get your Hall of Fame vote. You don't lose it, even though, I mean, I'm not saying you should be instantly stripped of it, but if you're not spending the year covering baseball in a hardcore manner, then you should be voting on the hall. Like, and the same thing with football. Like, you shouldn't be voting on the Hall of Fame. And so, to me, that's a little bothersome. And I think too that they are, that the perspective that they have, and I get this, like, well, you're not going to just open up the club for everybody, but I think that it would be behoove the Hall of Fame to, maybe blend the membership who are voting on the Hall of Fame a little bit and to bring in some younger people to start to do that. And then I just think the idea that, like, you have to get, you know, it's like, we're only going to do five people. I don't really like baseball's threshold of 75% because you can, you know, a group of people can keep somebody from getting in pretty easily if they wanted to. I don't like that, but I do think that, you know, like, I thought that the centennial clearing out the backlog a little bit was good. I think they need to do one more purge. I think they're probably like 10 or 15 players behind, and it's creating this like almost everybody agrees Tony Boselli should be in the Hall of Fame, but they're deciding whether it's like Tony Boselli or Steve Hutchinson. And then all of a sudden Peyton Manning and Ed Reed, or, you know, it's like people are pushing, they just push them back further and further. To me, that's problematic.
But that's what happens with, I mean, I agree with that, all of your points, but I don't agree with the last one just because that is part of the Hall of Fame process. Like, if there are better players that come along, if I retire in 1998, and I would have been a Hall of Famer, but over the next 20 years, there are better players that come along that are more deserving, then they should get in before me. You know, like if they were more talented than me, I'm not saying Boselli shouldn't be in. I'm just saying that you shouldn't automatically be in because you were a top flight player when you retired. Better players could come along at your position.
I don't disagree with that notion at all. What I do disagree with the notion is that if, like, to me, if somebody's a Hall of Famer, they should just be a Hall of Famer. Like, so for instance, we debate whether Eli Manning's a Hall of Famer or not. If Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, and Aaron Rodgers all retire, Aaron Rodgers, leave him out because he's probably not retiring. But if Brees, Ben, and Brady all retired this year, Eli Manning's probably not getting in the Hall of Fame for like 10 years. Like, he's not going to go in with Brady. They wouldn't put him in with Brady. They wouldn't put him in with Brees. They would put, if Brady, Brees, Ben, and Eli all retired, they would do one at a time each year, I think, for the next couple of years.
And I want to go back.
Warner and Favre? Did Warner and Favre go in together? Or did Warner had to wait, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure. They do.
It seems crazy that those guys would have to wait, though. Even
they do try to avoid having multiple quarterbacks going at the same. I mean, it happens, but just because those are the guys that are going to steal the thunder in each class if a quarterback does go in. But I do want to go back to a couple of your points real quick, Brinson, because there's a couple I was going to make that are very similar. I think what you're kind of describing is that these guys have had their votes for so long that you get kind of into this groupthink mode where the same guys like Tony Boselli, you can use Ken Anderson, the same guys aren't getting in every year because these guys have the other players that they view as Hall of Famers. And like you said, I do think you could use some younger blood in there. And so what I would do is put term limits on how long you could be a Hall of Fame voter. I would say 5 years, and then you can be one again, but you have to wait out a few. I don't know what the limit would be for coming back, but there would have to be some sort of, you can only do it for 5 years straight. And then also I would put Hall of Famers on the committee. I think every other voting thing you see, the Academy Awards, the Heisman Trophy, Academy Award winners are in the Academy. They vote for who wins the next one. Heisman Trophy winners get to vote for who wins the Heisman Trophy. So I do think that Hall of Fame players who are on the field seeing these other Hall of Fame players and would recognize Hall of Fame talent should also have a vote. So my biggest one would be term limits for media voters and get some Hall of Famers in on the vote. And I would have 100 people on the committee with like 50 media members or 75 media members and 50 Hall of Famers or 25 Hall of Famers. And I would rotate the Hall of Famers every year. And maybe they can't vote for someone who was their teammate, but they'd have to sit out of the room for something like that. So you would make the rules to fit this. But I do think that the voting does need to change.
By the way, some breaking news while we're podcasting. Diva's like, why are you doing this to me? The NFL released a memo. They've accepted the terms of the CBA. It is on the players to vote on it next, meaning we could have a CBA done by this weekend, which is wild to think about how quickly that happened. Following more than 10 months of intensive and thorough negotiations, the NFL players and clubs have jointly developed a comprehensive set of new and revised terms that will transform the future of the game, provide for the players past, present, and future, both on and off the field, and ensure that the NFL's second century is even better and more exciting for the fans. The membership, the ownership membership, voted today to accept the negotiated terms on the principal elements of a new collective bargaining agreement. The Players Association would also need to vote to approve the same terms for there to be a new agreement. And then they said, since the clubs and players need to have a system in place and know the rules and they will operate under by next week, the membership also approved moving forward under the final year of the 2011 CBA if the players decide not to approve the negotiated terms. Out of respect for the process, no further comment. In other words, they need to hurry up and get it done.
But that creates a fascinating dynamic. If you're a team like the Cowboys and Titans, basically what this means is that the players will probably vote on Friday because they have a conference call. So by the time you're listening to this, the players might have already voted whether or not to pass it or not pass it. If they do pass it, the new CBA kicks in, and that means teams will not have a franchise tag and a transition tag. They'll be back to whatever the new rules are, which will probably just be a franchise. So all of a sudden, if the Titans thought they were going to get Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry tagged, nope, because you just lost one of your tags. And the Cowboys, you thought you were going to do Dak and Amari? Nope, you only got one tag. So, but if the players were to vote against this, then those two tags would still be in place. So that really is a lot of pressure. And I think, Brinson, as you just tweeted, that maybe this is a red flag to me that the owners approve this so quickly. And so I don't think it's a lock that the players approve this. So, you know, there's going to be some teams kind of rooting that, hey, maybe let's just hopefully the players don't pass this till next year, till April or May, so that we can go into free agency with two tags.
You know, when you, when you make an offer in fantasy football or fantasy baseball or whatever, and like somebody accepts it like immediately and you're like, oh crap. Like that's what this, like, I know they've been working on it for 10 months or whatever, but like if I'm the players, I'm like, why are these guys rushing to get this done? This is very bizarre. Like they want to negotiate the TV deals. I get it. I'm not suggesting they're up to shenanigans. But I'm just saying that, I would have my antenna up. My spidey senses would be going off if I were the players. Like this, cause remember, like the owners are like, we will skip an entire year of football. We don't care. We are getting this deal changed 10 years ago. And now they're like, hey, what's up, bros? Like, yeah, just bang out this agreement and sign it and get it done. Football's great. All right.
The flip side of that real quick is that not every owner voted for this. Adam Schefter is saying that it was not unanimous. So maybe the players are saying, all right, well, maybe this isn't, they didn't agree on it. So maybe this is something we can do. And 2011, when the last CBA passed, the vote was 31-1, and the only team that voted against it
Ike
was
Brown.
The Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mike Brown usually does vote against things. That's usually rule changes. He did not. He voted for the CBA. He went in line with that.
I got to tell you, I'm not really thrilled about the idea of 300-plus pages of legal document deep diving over the next week. Like, I was sort of hoping that would be next offseason. But because the current CBA is 301 pages. And, I mean, it is a – like, I don't know if you guys have ever, like, spent a lot of time reading legal documents. It is – it hurts your head.
And then there's always fascinating nuggets in it. Like, you almost feel compelled to read it because that's how you find out about how much money – what the player's playoff thing is. You'll find out, like, the rules for 17 games. It will probably list where that 17th game would be played, whether it be home or away. Like, all those details will be in the
franchise tag rules and all – yeah, it's all
right,
kinds of –
right.
And I guarantee there's going to be like six or seven things where you find in there that A, the breach will write a story about it and do a bunch of traffic. And B, where you're like, holy crap, did they really sneak that in there and the players signed this? Like, are you kidding me?
Here are the five craziest things I found in the new collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
I got the headline.
It's a slideshow. Okay. Debo's yelling at me because we're at an hour, I think.
Wait, breaking news, Debo.
You guys can see me and know that I am not yelling.
That's true. He looks pretty calm.
As you can see, I'm just sitting here. all right, good show. Great show. We lost Ryan halfway through. It's okay. He had a thing. It's an HQ. We'll,
did you have to read the Dave Gettleman review?
We're saving that one. We kicked it down, kicked it down the road. We will do it, but... we went long on some of these.
I fought for you, Dave Gettleman reviewer.
We will get to every 5-star review. No doubt about it. We will get to every one eventually. We got a lot of off season. Don't forget that, you know, this in June last year, people were lamenting that this podcast was didn't talk enough football.
Too much Game of Thrones. There's no Game of Thrones this year, guys. So relax.
Not,
but there is Westworld, and you know who's on Westworld? Marshawn Lynch. So we're going to have a reason to talk about it, even though Sean hates the show.
You don't like Westworld? Yeah. I like Westworld.
Trash show. Sean thinks it's trash.
Wow. Okay.
Which is and I for the record, to his newsletter because of that.
You've never subscribed to my newsletter.
I'm going to.
I would have recognized Sean to be bad at gmail.com.
Have you guys watching the new season of Curb?
No, not yet.
It is strong. Highly recommend. McMillan.
Now Debo's about to start
yelling. Too.
Sean's plan of turning this into a newsletter podcast is slowly working. He's on to you.
I don't want to talk about Westworld. Ryan, where's Ryan? Ryan's an ally with me on Westworld. Is
Marshawn Lynch is on it. It's NFL related. The man played a playoff game a month ago.
All right. Good show. Let's get out of here. In the meantime, subscribe, rate, and review. Talk to you guys Monday.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.